Amen. You've been singing so good tonight. Once again, thanks so much for coming. Those that are visiting, some from Nassau, we welcome each one tonight. And also, concerning the concert of year, as you go around this week, you can speak to others that don't know, that might not know about the concert. Let them know. Invite them to come out on Thursday night, and I'm sure each one will be blessed. Now, Brother Ludi with the message.
Thank you very much, Brother Gerald. I'm sure that I can add my amen to that. I believe that you'll be blessed. Some of you do remember Wade Spencer. He's one of the Southern Gospel singers, and I'm sure those of you who heard him were blessed here before. Brother Freddy's making arrangements to have him come in. Now, would you turn this evening to Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah 9. What am I saying? 6. Okay, I'm preaching Isaiah. Chapter 9. And we'll read from verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and increased the joy. They rejoice before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with justice and with righteousness, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord is able to add his blessing, and I'm sure he will, to the reading of his precious word. I enjoy the special music. I've got to hear the men a little bit more this evening. Ladies were down, and we got to hear the men a little bit more. Normally, the ladies outnumber them and kind of put a little drowning effect on them, but they were really coming through with those pieces this evening. One of the greatest needs of the human race is peace. One of the things that Israel sought for more than anything during their years of sojourn was peace. It was the supreme longing of their heart. In fact, it was what they looked for when the Messiah came. They were looking for a Messiah who would come and set up a reign of peace. And this is why in the beginning some flocked to him. But when they found out that Jesus Christ was not going to set up his kingdom, there were those who left him. I believe that what was true of the prophetic age and the age of the Messiah, it's also true of our age. Any of us who watch the news realize that during the past 2 months especially, Israel has been in the throes of national war. Among their own people, people born in the land who call themselves, who are Palestinians. They're called Arabs, but they're Palestinians. They all are part of the of Israel. They're not Egyptians. They're not Jews, but they're Palestinians. And just yesterday, we're hearing that Yasser Arafat is saying that because the president of the United States has been a close friend of his, he would like to sign a peace treaty before the president's term ends, which is just a couple of weeks away. And Israel's prime minister resigned a couple of weeks ago, and they are planning new elections right now. He's expected to win again. And there's anything but peace in Israel. And they welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace had come to them. And they could have had the same peace that every one of us have. They could have it even now. But they still reject him as being the true Son of God. I believe that our generation needs peace, whether you live in Israel or whether you live in the West. I said to a friend of mine just a couple days ago, I said, how are things going? He said, not good. Have you haven't seen the stock market? And I said, well, no, I don't follow that. He says, well, join the Rolaid Club. And people are finding themselves in a state of anything but peace. Even believers are finding that it's very difficult to sleep at night because what they have put their old life in sometimes may go down the drain. But you know, I think there's a quality of life that comes from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose that when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was not thinking of quality of life. I was thinking of quantity of life. I wanted everlasting life. And when we are saved, we get everlasting life. But I believe with this everlasting life, he says, I give you abundant life. Life that is above the normal life. It's the life of God that's given to us. He said, my peace I give unto you. When do we get that peace? When we trust in Jesus Christ. So when the world is upset around us and the stock market may be ready to collapse, and there's wars and rumors of wars and problems physically, problems mentally, and problems socially, we can still have that deep, settled peace. The world can't give it. With all the things the world has to offer, they've got this program called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And there are people who believe that if they can get on that program and somehow get Regis to work it so that some magic so that they can win $1 million, they will have it made. Nobody has ever had it made who won $1 million. Because that don't bring peace. And with all the money that a millionaire may have, or the millions that people may have, or the houses and the lands and all the things that the world can give, the prestige that the world can put on politicians and others. We've just had a man. I was glad he won the White House, but he's going to the White House, right? That can't give peace. He's got his plate full of troubles. He's going from Texas, running a little pawn shop like place down there, to running the world. You're talking about a plate full to running the world. And yet, if you gain the world, the Bible says, you won't have peace. The world can't give it. The world can't take it away. The choir's been singing about this one who came. And when he came, he brought peace. In the midst of all the conflict and the uncertainties of the world, in the midst of all the problems that come physically to us and emotionally, Christ comes to give us everlasting peace. Because we read, it says that this one who will be called the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's what Israel needed. But one day they said, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. They didn't realize that this man was God's man. I'm not sure they fully understood when they said, away with him. We'll not have this man. I believe it was said in derision. It was said to put him on a lower rung of the ladder. I don't believe they were intending to exalt him to the highest. I don't believe they were trying to own him as God's supreme, sovereign son. Away with this man. Well, there was this man who was hanging there. Born like you and me, but Jesus Christ was not born like Barabbas or the thieves. They were this man. They were men. They were only men. And the best of men are only men at their best. But the man who was hanging on the middle cross was the man, Christ Jesus. The man who was a thief. And Barabbas could not give peace. They had violated all the rules of the land. They were in search of peace themselves. But Jesus Christ was the one who was the author of peace. His name will be called Prince of Peace. There are no less than 15 different Hebrew words that are translated prince in our King James Version. And so the basic idea behind the word is that of ruler or leader or captain. He's the leader and the captain. He's the author, the pioneer, the one who started it. He's the initiator. Someone has said he makes peace, he gives peace, and he preaches peace by his cross. And so he's the author of peace. He brought peace at his birth. You remember the announcement. It was an angelic announcement. They've sung this evening, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. If there was ever a time in the history of mankind when they needed to hear those words of goodwill towards men, it was that very time that Jesus Christ came. I like what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of the time had come, this is not any time. This was God's time. For the Prince of Peace to come. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. The conditions in our world was right for God to act. God was not going to act politically. That's what men wanted. God's supreme motive for acting when he acted was a spiritual motive. Man had gone astray. Man needed redemption. And it was God's redemptive purposes that was going to be seen in the work that Jesus Christ did. He said, I came to do the work that my Father gave me to do and to finish it. That work was not a political work. It was not a social work. But that work was that men might be regenerated. He came that he might provide the world with a Savior. A Savior who could give them security. A Savior who could provide for them redemption. A Savior who could bring to their hearts reconciliation. A Savior who could make them to be better. Not because of their outward works, but because of an inward work of grace that would be done in the hearts of all those who would receive Him, and they would be given His peace. It was during the long war, the Second World War. A father had gone away to war. And mommy had put a picture of daddy on the table. They had a little son, a little boy. He was only an infant when his daddy left to go away. But the boy grew after a few years. He only felt his daddy's warm arms and embrace. He never, at that age, he couldn't remember what his daddy looked like. But the time he could focus on anything, his mother had him focusing on that photo of his father. That's your daddy. Your daddy will come home soon. And every day she would take the little boy to that picture and say, look at this picture. This is your daddy. He loves you. He went away to fight to keep the world secure. But really the boy kind of forgot. There was no feeling there. There was nothing to attach him. It was just a picture. But you know, one day he sat before that picture. And for a while he looked, and then there was an amazing thing that he said. He said, if only my father could step out of that picture and be real. You know, that's what the Christmas story is saying to us. Christmas is saying that it was a sad day in this world. It was a day of sin. It was a day of wickedness. The devil was having his way. And God had given to mankind the prophets and had given them the law. And they were brought no nearer to God through the commandments and through the law and through the teachings of the prophets. One day God said, I'll send my only begotten Son. And when the fullness of time was come, God stepped out of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. It's as if we were saying, if only God would step out and help us so that we can see what the real God is like. And God sent Jesus Christ. And God said, here is what I'm like. And the angel said, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the author of peace. He not only brought peace, but He taught peace by His life. He looked into the face of men and women. I have spoken unto you these things, that in me you may have peace. He said, I preached the truth to you. I've told you the truth about who I am. I've told you the truth about my Heavenly Father. I have told you that I and the Father are one. Now He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. If you've trusted in me, you'll have peace. In spite of the tribulation, because I have overcome the world. He also could say to His disciples, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. I'm going away. Peace I leave with you. I don't have to be here physically for you to have that peace, that inner serenity and that calm in the face of all the dangers and the frustrations of life. Peace, my peace, I leave it with you. So when they saw Him ascend into heaven, it wasn't that they did not have His peace. And even though He is in heaven now physically, you and I still have His peace. And if there's a person here this evening who doesn't know Jesus Christ for the first time, they can have His peace.
He said, peace I leave with you. But then he said this, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Whose peace is it? The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. My peace, I give it to you. I don't see any charge here. I don't see any IOU here. He says, I give it to you. Isn't that the essence of God's program of salvation? That God gives it freely? Isn't that what we are taught about the gospel? For God so loved the world that he freely gave his son. That whosoever believeth in him, peace I leave with you. My peace, he says. My peace. There's no other leader who could say my peace because they need his peace. Whoever they are, they need his peace. My peace I give to you. Then he adds this, not as the world gives, do I give to you? Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of how men and women are attracted to him, it was not only because of his word of peace, but it was also because of his way of peace. When you watched him as he lived here upon earth for 33 and a half years, you could discern that there was a difference in this Galilean. There was a difference in this young man who came from Galilee, this carpenter from Nazareth, because you could discern a composure. Even when they would come to take him, when they accused him, there was a calm, there was a tranquility which utterly removed him from the world that was actually harassing him. He stood out as being different from the religious leaders of his day. When people saw him, they saw one who was so calm that he silenced storms. He didn't create storms. His reaction was to still the sea. That was a physical thing. But he stilled the storm that sin had created in the breasts of men and women. When he said to a woman that he found, that found him, you know, that story about the woman, but he was sitting on the well. Somebody says she found him, but he found her. He went there to meet her. And he gave that woman a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He gave her peace that passed all understanding. His word is peace. His way is peace. He silenced storms. He cast out demons. I'm not going to try that. The Lord Jesus Christ had the power to do it. He healed diseases. And he met those who had been beaten down by sin. Those who were hurting because of the effects of iniquity. And he healed their diseases. And when they came to him to receive him, his word to them who came to him was, go in peace. Go in peace. But he bought peace by his death. I like Colossians 1:20 that says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Period. Stop it right there. You don't need to read 27 verses. to understand what he's saying about peace and the blood of his cross. Having made, I hear people say, you've got to make your peace. I read this verse that says, having made. Who made it? Did I make it? No, he made it. I came to Jesus weary, worn, and sad. He took my sins away because he made peace. He had to make it before I came to him. It says he made peace through something. The blood of his cross. The cross, oh, that's our gain. For on the cross the Lamb was slain. 'Twas there the Lord was crucified. The cross. And when I think of the cross, I think of pain. It's not only blood, but it's pain. It's separation. The cross meant separation. It meant pain. It meant shame. The shame that was associated with the cross, we sometimes say very little about. The very God of glory. The Bible says they stripped him. They stripped him. And they mocked him. And they cursed him. They nailed him to a cursed tree. The Bible says, cursed is every man who is hanged on a tree. But he was cut off by his Father God. Because of my sin. And because of the sin of the whole world. Not sins, but sin. Jesus Christ came to deal with the sin. S-I-N, problem. It happened a long time ago. Our foreparents, Adam and Eve, they sinned, plunged the whole human race into darkness, into depravity, into sinfulness and iniquity. God came down and God took an animal and slew that animal. God made coats of the skins of those animals. And God said, this covering is by blood. There had to be a death. An animal, his life had to be slain. An innocent animal, an innocent substitute. But that animal wasn't a perfect substitute. There was only one perfect substitute. That's why the hymn writer says, not all the blood of peace on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace. Or wash away one slain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our guilt away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer, richer, richer. How rich? He came from the Father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The wealth in every mine. Richer blood than they. But not only that wealth. Richer because he's not one of us. He's not tainted with sin. It was only God who had not sinned. Man had sinned. God's creation had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And God lays on him who had not sinned because he was not the created of God. He was God. Man is the created of God. And we had all gone astray. I inherited Adam's blood. That's why I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all sin. Jesus bought peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And he said again, I say, he made reconciliation to God. We were alienated from God. And what Jesus Christ did, he came and he established an honorable peace by his birth, by his life, and by his death. You cannot say that he established an honorable peace by his birth and leave it there.
Jesus Christ was born and he was born to die. But he lived and we look at him being born and we see him as he lives. But remember that the Bible says he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Because he would suffer and die. He knew that he came into the world to be the sacrifice for sins. He couldn't stop in the Garden of Gethsemane. He must go all the way. All the way. My Savior leads me. I wonder if I'm prepared to go all the way with him. Even all the way from him. I said he's the author of peace. This evening I trust that you have this peace in your heart. Somebody said, I counted all my dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. I never knew till one day by a grave how vain are the things that we spend life to save. I did not know till a friend went above that riches is he who is rich in God's love. I trust that those of us who have this peace might seek this Christmas season to share that with those that we meet who have never tasted of his peace. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this evening for this peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that we have met him and we have received from him that peace that he promised, that peace that he made by the blood of his cross. And though our Father, we pray that we might be brought to the place where we realize that it cost him and it should cost us. That we should lay our trophies at his feet. We should own him, Lord of all. That we should give ourselves unreservedly to him. And say, Lord Jesus, if you did this for me, then there's nothing too great that you ask for me to do for you. I will give you my life. I will give you my all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in my place. And thank you for the peace that I have that passeth all understanding. Thank you for the Prince of Peace, Father, for sending him into the world. And for the night when every one of us heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of us are any greater than anybody else, our Father, in this world, because we're all sinners saved by grace, those of us who've trusted in Jesus Christ. And we've received the same measure of this divine grace. We thank you in Jesus' name.